When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner, firstly by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club. Lloydie. Rhys, I'm Rhys.
Hi, Rhysie.
How many times do we have to do this? Every time I call you Lloyd, we get into this.
Hello.
Are you excited about another episode of the wonderful podcast, Fit and Proper Podcast?
I cracked my crown last night.
Right. What's going on here?
So I've got to have emergency dentist.
What's this?
On
the
Monday
coronation?
Morning.
Oh. This is a bit early.
What's that mean?
What are you? Are you? Who do you think you are? King Charles? Oh, I've cracked my bloody crown.
No, your crown's a tooth thing.
Tooth thing.
Yeah, I know about teeth, mate.
Look at this set of comedy teeth.
Lovely. Also, so you must be fuming that you haven't got the biggest teeth in comedy.
Well, interestingly, the other day I got home from a corporate I had very much struggled at for the refrigeration industry.
Clang.
And normally I do well, but that room, it was cold. Yeah, you heard me. That's the sort of stuff, that's the sort of reaction I was getting. That's the sort of reaction I was getting at the gig when I was like, I'm here to warm you up. It was the aircon and refrigeration industry. I didn't smash it by any accounts. And I've spent most of the time openly courting for some free aircon. The point is, I got home.
Why would you want free aircon in a flat house in East London?
Had a breakdown. It was 40 degrees last year in the summer, one day.
Right.
I got home, had a breakdown, ended up looking through every post I've ever done on Instagram. And I was looking, mainly just the old ones from like 2013 or whatever. And I was looking through them and I would click on them and I would see the comments. And on one of them, I happened to notice it was a picture of me that great photographer Matt Crockett took for his book. And I was doing like a really serious pose. I was like, my face was very earnest and serious and I was pulling my collar out like this. And the joke was going to be, we were going to tattoo like something. Yeah. We were going to do a fake tattoo on my shoulder and then we just didn't. So then it just looked like I was trying to be sultry. The point is, I was doing such a serious face with a closed mouth. The only comment on the picture, I think, was Rob Beckett saying, what a waste of a great set of comedy teeth. And I was just like, good that he was looking out for me all those years ago, saying, open your mouth, these are hilarious, man. It worked for me.
So what I've got for that conversation is, you did a corporate.
Did a corporate. I know Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett follows on Instagram.
Well, I don't know. This is a long time ago. He follows
too many people. We've got an episode today to do.
What a guest this is. This is basically the quintessential fit and proper guest.
Humphrey Carr.
Literally does this job in real life.
He does this job in real life. Humphrey Carr is a comedian that was in Penny Dreadfuls.
Correct. Solo work includes winning the Best Newcomer Award in Edinburgh.
Fuck, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
With his
sketch show, one-man sketch show.
Called Humphrey Carr is Dimmock Watson, Nazi Smasher, which he got a Parry Award. Edinburgh Comedy Award. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah, big deal. Now,
I forgot about that. Well,
then
Humph.
He fucked off to LA to be all Hollywood. I remember seeing him turn up in my favourite programme, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was in an episode of that running a sort of course, a political correctness course for the members of the bar had to go to.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, Humphrey Carr is doing my dream job right now because he is in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Next thing you know, he's running a football club. And I was like, he's doing my other dream job right now. So I'm so jealous of this man.
I assume there's quite a lot of football fans that listen to this, but also you don't have to be a football fan in order to listen to this. He basically was involved in the takeover of Wrexham FC, which we'll obviously talk about on the podcast. He is in the documentary quite a lot. So if you've been watching the documentary, Humphrey's in that. But I mean, this is great, isn't it? This is at the absolute Venn diagram segment in the middle, comedy, football owner, it's Humphrey Carr. Today on Fit and Proper, we are joined by an actor, a writer, a comedian, a very good footballer. Well, I used to play with this chap on a Tuesday, Comedians Football, which we'll talk about in a minute. But crucially, the executive director of Wrexham Football Club.
Indeed.
Is Humphrey Carr. Humphrey,
hello.
Thanks for coming on.
Gents, thank you for having me.
We're recording this remotely because we are in our agent's offices in London's Soho. But can you, for the listener, just tell us where you are right now?
I am currently in the Aviation American Gin Suite at Wrexham Association Football Club, the race course.
Yes,
Mould Road,
please.
Wrexham,
that's what we
ML
want to hear.
12.
That's where I think that's where, if you hadn't said that, where all the listeners would have imagined you were.
Yeah. This is, yes, exactly. That's where I like everyone to picture me is in high powered football environments.
and you live there all year round, yeah?
I am. Yeah, part of the deal I had for coming here is I can sleep in the stadium. So they gave me a Wrexham branded sleeping bag, and I sort of, I'm like the Phantom of the Opera here. I just sort of haunt the rafters of the race course.
you're over here for the end of the season. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been here for about 6 weeks just for the run in, and I split my time between here and in LA where I live normally. And this trip I've been, you know, come back and forth. I do about 5 months a year here. Obviously this is a big pivotal end of the season for us, so I didn't want to miss any of it. So I've been over for a wee while.
We played football together. Obviously, we'd met up in Edinburgh a number of times on the comedy circuit and stuff. And then we played football on a Tuesday afternoon, comedians football, down in the secret location in South London. Yeah. Myself, you, Rob Beckett, Daniel Kitson, Andy Zaltzman, Tim Key, the like. Do you know what I mean? The usual. All the greats. And then you went off to LA to write. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I went over there to sort of do whatever anyone would pay me to do. So my first job over there, I got cast in a pilot for NBC called Holding Patterns that never went anywhere. But that got me a visa, and I then sold a few pilots, and I do a bit of acting here and there, a bit of writing here and there. Really all sorts, to be honest.
Can you talk us through? Obviously, I think a lot of our listeners would have watched the documentary. I think I'm in it briefly, aren't I? For like a tiny,
you.
Tiny
I think you are.
Bit, yeah.
What's Lloyd got to do with it?
What?
Why is Lloyd in it?
Well, I think they were trying to juxtapose Rob and Ryan with two of the scummiest people they could find in the stadium. And that was Lloyd and Rob Beckett eating sausage rolls.
Oh, I remember.
This
happening,
actually in the footage? I don't know if I've. I don't think I've watched that Grimsby episode because I can't bring myself.
So
to,
I. But, do you but show we're not. Up? No, BT Sport covered it a lot, but in the doc, there's like fleeting. I don't think any of the execs on the documentary know or knew who me and Rob are.
They missed a trick.
Rob Beckett. Yeah, well, they did a little bit. You know what I mean? I didn't want to give notes on the episode. Grimsby and Wrexham obviously met in the semi-final of the playoffs last season. And let's not talk about that because that's not why we brought you on the podcast.
Agreed. Great.
Okay, fair enough. I thought you
Let's
might
leave it.
Okay, yeah.
For those who don't know, Grimsby won, and it was a devastating day for me, an amazing day for Lloyd.
But how did you get involved in Wrexham for the listeners that don't know?
Yeah, so I was working as a writer on an Apple TV show called Mythic Quest. 3 seasons currently available anywhere Apple TV is served. Treat yourselves.
You never lose it.
Working for Rob. So the show is created by Rob McElhenney and my wife, Megan Gans. And due to some absolute rank nepotism, I got a gig on it as a writer. And whilst there, I would watch football in the writer's room. So on our lunch break, you know, we'd sit around a big table, and I'd often have my laptop, you know, on silent in front of me with the Liverpool game on. You know, the 8 p.m. kickoff in the UK corresponds to, you know, we have lunch at 12 over there, 8 hours behind. Perfect. And Rob would always like make fun of me and say, oh, this is boring, stupid, you know, very American, like, oh, they only pass it sideways and there's only not enough scores and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that sort of 2019, when we were doing that, was the year Liverpool went to the Champions League final. They had that incredible comeback against Barcelona in the second leg of the semi-final. And even he was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool, right? Like, I've heard of Barcelona. I know who Messi is. Like, wow, you guys really did it. But it wasn't until the start of lockdown, I made him watch Sunderland Till I Die, because I suddenly realized what he cares about is story. He doesn't really care, you know, the sport is second to the story in some ways. And that's what we all love. We love the story of football and what it means to us and all the significance of it as much as like watching someone stick one in the top corner. And I was like, oh yeah, watch this. This will explain to you what it means to us and why I think it's a bit different to like being an American football supporter. We only have like 13 games a year or 18 games or whatever it is. And actually the rest of the year you're into the basketball or the hockey or whatever. It's not, you know, for us, it's just football all year round. Anyway, he watched it, loved it. And because he's a maniac, he was like, we should do this. We should do this, but like in reverse, like rather than doing a documentary about watching a team sort of go down leagues and how heartbreaking it is, let's do one about one going up leagues and how brilliant it is. And we should make a documentary. We should buy a football team. And I was like, yeah, sounds wicked. You know, like, yeah, brilliant. All right. Yeah, totally. You know, it was sort of, you know, again, someone being like, oh, we should get a cottage, you know, and write all we can. And like, no distractions, you know, and you're like, yeah, brilliant. Yeah, for sure. And then you never get around to doing it. But
also, as a Brit, you have had that conversation in the pub 1,000 times minimum of, we should 100%. Just take over our local club. We're better than this lot managing. We'd be brilliant. Yeah.
This is literally the premise of your podcast is exactly. Like, we've all lived that, you know, it's 100%. And also being very English and just, you know, have that natural, like, I mean, gosh, that would be tricky, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine all the things you'd have to do. And
well, a lot of admin.
You know, a lot of admin and, you know, you've got to persuade them and you've got to do this and you've got to like, well, yeah, I mean, it would be brilliant and everything. But, you know, that was sort of the period where everyone was starting to do like Duolingo and sourdough. And I was like, oh, this is our Duolingo and sourdough. We're going to talk about buying a football club and then never get around to it. And, you know, basically 2 days go by and he's like, okay, I've spoken to Inner Circle Sports, who are the guys that helped Fenway Sports Group by Liverpool, and they did the Bordeaux sale and they did this and I did that, so which team are we buying, you know, like, well, let's go, like, and so even then still I was like, well, all right, I'll draw up a list of teams and I'll put a bunch of different teams on the list and I'll make up a little matrix of different, you know, qualities you can judge a football club by. And we did all my research genuinely on Wikipedia and Football Manager because those were the two best places to get like lower league intel.
Yeah, gosh.
And, you know, if I wanted to find out what the name of the training ground was for Carlisle United, I was like, it's not on their Wikipedia. Like, where can I find it? It's not on their club website, Football Manager. And lo and behold, there it was. And you Google it and be like, oh, right, that's their, they are, you know, Shifty Hanger Lane or whatever the name of every sort of weird training ground name. So came up with this list. Wrexham were top of the list. They got 38 out of 50 in my little, you know, I had 5 categories out of 10. They got 38.
Wow, there's so much method to it.
Yeah, albeit again, the kind of method you put into like a sort of, you know, sixth form project on like, football stadiums, you know, you've got like, oh, I've got to hand this in tomorrow. I'll go on Football Manager and just Google names.
Is it, do you think, is it top secret? As in, you don't have to give the scores, but do you think Lloyd and I would be able to guess what the 5 categories are?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay.
Fan base.
Yes.
Stadium.
Yeah, well, facilities, which was stadium.
Facilities as a whole. Okay.
Yes.
Catchment area.
Yes. I mean, yeah,
really?
geography was one of them. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually ripping this.
To give you an example, there were other teams we looked at. So one of the teams we looked at was Hartlepool United, which is a great club, great history, lots of cool things about it. Their nickname is the Monkey Hangers, which is just a brilliant thing. But they're really close to Middlesbrough. They're really close to Sunderland. And so, you know, almost immediately you're like, well, you're going to be competing with a lot of big clubs around you for new fan base, where we've got this whole giant North Wales catchment area. It's 750,000 people. So you're basically, although we are in a town of 60,000 people, you kind of have the same catchment area as a big city, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That's where geography comes into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to who can you get?
So there's two left. Lloyd, I'm going to let you go for a clean sweep here.
Okay. So we've gone facilities. We've gone for geography. What was the other one I said?
Stadium, was it?
No, that's stadium.
Facilities, fan base.
Oh, sorry.
Fan base. I would go with history.
I'm gonna give you half a point for that because it was, yeah, I mean, one of the things we talked about was sort of the story of the club, you know, the narrative behind it and like the kind of, you know, again, this is the third oldest professional club in the world, and it is the we've got the oldest continuous use international stadium in the world here, and we're Welsh and we play in an English system, and that immediately gives you a sort of sense of identity and this, that, and the other. So yeah, history slash just story really was one.
Famous fans, bootlegger.
No, oh, okay. No, that was not.
What about
Reese? You got a chance to steal.
Cost.
No, that actually wasn't a big thing.
Cost didn't come into it because it was unlimited money. It was Fenway Sports. The guys who helped Fenway. It you was got the gym money, you know.
It was we're matter. Rolling in it.
Yeah.
Oil money Wrexham, as we sometimes get calls on Twitter. What it was. I mean, ultimately, well, cost was a. I put the cost of everything, but it wasn't one of the five categories, yeah. or as much as I could estimate. Again, based off Football Manager and Wikipedia. You know, you would Wikipedia comes in then because you're like, right, well, what did other similar clubs go for 5 years ago, and then you try and sort of extrapolate from that. Albeit, Inner Circle Sports come in pretty quickly, and they tell you, you know, they're much better at estimating this than other people. But what the final category was, to be honest, was like the sort of socioeconomic status of the various areas that we were looking at, because one of the things the guys were really big on from the jump was they wanted to find somewhere that sort of they felt like their money would go a long way, and it would make a big difference, and it was a place that sort of deserved, I mean, that's crossing over into story, but a place that deserved a go. So the
regeneration
give, yes, and the example I give here is we looked at some other clubs that were sort of in the outskirts of Manchester, and you were quite quickly like, well, this is sort of quite a yuppie area, actually. Like lots of young professionals live around here, and they
kind of area.
And they commute into Manchester to go and work for the, you know, the globalists and fake news at the BBC. instead, you know, one of the things that really appealed about Wrexham was that this was a place that, you know, was a big coal mining town, it was a big steel town, it was a big brewing town, it was a big market town. They used to get all the wool from like North Wales used to come down into here and get sold into kind of Halifax and places like that for them to make the cloth, and all that's sort of gone away, and not a lot had come to replace it. And so we, you know, that was another place that scored really highly. We were like, well, this is a place that could like just deserves a break in a way, yeah. really. And then you know, this is going back to story again, but well, as we discovered that they had very unscrupulous owners, and the fans had saved the club, and it was a fan owned or operated entity, all that added together was what got it to the 38 basically.
So Wrexham got the highest scoring, and then you basically you went through with it.
Yeah, so we then reached out to some very American phrase. We then got in touch with
offline
with the Wrexham Supporters Trust and said, hey, look, this is a serious thing that these guys want to do. Will you listen to them sort of make you a pitch and see if you're interested? You know, how would it work? And they, you know, one of the great things from our perspective and for the club's perspective now is that they said, well, look, we don't want any money. We just want to know that you've got enough money. So if you put £2 million into the club's bank account, we will then hand it over to you, and you can then spend that £2 million sort of thing. Bless them. They were all over it from the jump, because I think they knew that they were in big, big trouble, especially with COVID.
Of course.
That, you know, they were in real danger of kind of going under. And we arrived quite unexpectedly as the sort of, you know, the cavalry.
And was it always going to be the case that you were going to be instilled within the club, you know, in a kind of senior role?
Yeah. So my job initially was to act as a sort of football whisperer in a way, or like a translator for them, so that they could, you know, we were really keen to make sure that given how important the heritage of the club was and the ethos of the club and its place in the community, they just didn't want to come in and start being like, oh, let's do t-shirt cannons cheerleaders and whatever it may be, which I don't think they ever would have done. But it was, you know, initially having found the club and having sort of tried to learn as much about it as I could, my job then was to kind of help them to navigate all of that early on.
Yeah.
And my role now is really to operate as kind of a liaison between them and the club and just, you know, be here to kind of represent them and represent their interests on the ground, albeit the people we've brought in as our CEO and as strategic advisor to the board and every part of the club really is pretty ingrained with what they want to do anyway. So it's become a thing where we feel like we've managed to instill that slightly different way of doing things, which we want to do, and which we can do because we've got the access to this extraordinary level of attention and sponsorship and whatever it may be.
And Rob, I've noticed, has started calling it football.
Yeah.
Now, is that your doing or was it pressure from the fans?
I think, well, initially it was a lot of what I would do. So the thing really early on, I remember, is that they would sometimes refer to us as the Wrexham Red Dragons. They would, you know, be like, oh, well, yeah, the Wrexham Red Dragons. And I had to be like, oh, it's one or the other. It's like never both. You know, you can say Red Dragons, that's the club nickname, or you can say Wrexham. Don't run them together. Mm. And that's the sort of thing that I was called upon to do and be like, just remember, yeah, football, not soccer, blah, 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 blah.
You're like an etiquette coach, do you know what I mean?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. Bit of a Paul Burrell. Didn't he do a show where he told young ladies how to behave?
I just, at no point when we set up this podcast did I think the name Paul Burrell would ever make a shout out.
Or that anyone would ever choose to describe themselves as a bit of a Paul Burrell. That's a bit of a low moment for me.
Oh, sorry, one second.
Yes, breaking news, Lloyd Anne Rees, and it's that executive director of Wrexham AFC, Humphrey Carr, has just been announced as the new owner of RCD Mallorca. It'd be interesting to see how this pans out with his existing commitments, and we'll try to bring you more details as we have them. But just to confirm, Humphrey Carr has just been announced as the new owner of RCD Mallorca.
Well, that's pretty out of the blue. I'll say that much.
I kept that under my hat.
So that must have gone through five categories then for you to decide if you want to take
absolutely
over Mallorca.
Yeah. Went through the same five categories.
Yeah. What points did they get? What points did
they
Mallorca
got very high
get?
Score.
Oh, really?
Mallorca, they got very, very high score. They got 36, slightly less than Wrexham.
Yeah,
I've got to do a lot of politics on this.
Be careful. Yeah, you can't be more than them. But, you know, it would have done well for, like, even catchment area, I imagine, like, you know, average temperature comes into things.
You're on an island. Mallorca. So it's like, no, you can't, none of your people off the island can get away. Yeah. It's very hard for them to go to other clubs. So they score very highly there.
Captive fan base.
Literally.
Yeah.
So talk us through why Mallorca and how did it come about?
Well, you know, I was thinking, given my current role at Wrexham, I can't be going to another club within the UK. I couldn't do it to the fans, it break my
heart.
Are
you keeping this role as well as Wrexham?
Well, I think I'm not sure I'd be allowed to, would I? I presume.
I think you absolutely can.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
Nottingham Forest, he owns Olympiacos, I do believe.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, Man City Sports Group or whatever it's called have about eight clubs, don't they?
Okay, I'm doing both.
You're building an empire.
Well, that's another good reason. Well, again, that's probably another good reason because I'm still here. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think I'd be allowed to own two clubs in the English football system.
No, that's not allowed.
I think that would be a problem. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to get away, find something quite different, you know, but take the lessons that I've learned from my time here and really apply them in Mallorca. You know, it's as I say, you're in La Liga, so you're a top flight club. You don't have to go through the rigmarole of getting promoted up the leagues, but you are, you know, in the glamorous island surroundings of Mallorca or whatever it is. It's Mallorca on Mallorca or Mallorca.
The water
Mallorca.
In Mallorca don't taste like what it alters. So I go Mallorca.
Yeah, Mallorca. Right?
Did you know the advert?
No.
Do you know the advert?
Oh, I don't know what I thought you'd lost your mind.
No, there's an advert. I mean, obviously don't pause the podcast now, but later on, once you finish, once you tuck up in bed, do have a little Google of the water in Mallorca don't taste like what it ought to. It was an advert for something.
For what?
Water? I can't remember.
For not going to Mallorca?
It might be for British Brexit water.
It was like an anti-tourism advert.
I think it was maybe Lumpoly. Or Thomas Cook or something.
Okay.
We don't need to get into it now.
Good
I might have a little Google.
Lord. Well, actually...
Don't be distracted for a minute.
First question, actually, Humphrey, is how much did it set you back to get... I know cost wasn't one of your categories, but how much did it cost to get me?
Well, it's a top flight club in Spain, so I'm thinking... But, you know, they are perennial sort of... They're bouncing between La Liga and La Liga 2, or La Liga 2... So as a result, you know, I presume that the price isn't huge. So, but you know, I think probably, you know, they've seen me coming, right? It's like, oh, he's friends with those famous people. So I think I've ended up paying probably about 100 million quid for it.
Oh my God, you've been absolutely done.
Is that for the whole?
No, I mean, and I know it.
Is that for the whole island or just for the club?
That's just for the club. But that's because also there's a big premium, right? Because they've seen what's gone on at Wrexham and how that's gone from strength to strength. And they've absolutely had me over a barrel. But I've set my heart on Mallorca. And I know I've been done. And that's gonna run through my entire tenure there. I'm going to be furious that I know that I've been made.
There's going to be resentment bubbling under. How did you...
Actually, that's pretty quite cheap for a top flight football club, isn't it? I don't know. And maybe I've done a great deal.
How did you get the funds for that, if you don't mind me asking?
Blackmail. I'm on a text message chain with two real famos, right? And I've got them all. I got all the texts.
It's good to know that people WhatsApp in the same way, even at the A-list level. Yeah. I thought people were more careful as they got, but
no,
apparently not.
There's nothing offensive in there. I should say that. There's nothing that's too controversial. All it is there's plenty of times where they've overreacted to the course of a game before it's finished, and then we've won it in like the 96th minute, and they've had to eat crow and be all like, and they'd be mortified if I showed the players how many times they've been like, oh my God, what are we doing? Oh no, why did you miss that? You know, and then we've actually won it. That is probably enough for me to extract, I mean, hundreds of millions out of them. So
that's great.
That's
lovely.
Well, the fact that is real life, I think, shows great restraint on your part that you haven't genuinely used that to extract hundreds of millions.
I can't believe you're still working.
I know the way what side my bread's buttered, or whatever the phrase is. So I'm keeping those for the day that eventually they're like, Humphrey, I actually think we'd probably be better off without you. And then I'll be like, ha ha.
Yeah. Look at the screen grabs.
So you've taken over Mallorca. What are the big changes? I mean, you are already a man that has helped with a takeover of a club, so you've probably got blueprints already in place. Talk us through them.
So what I'm going to do, right, is that I want to do things a bit differently to how we do things here. So coming in here, Rob and Ryan and I, in particular, knew we didn't know anything about football. You know, we you know, big fan and I knew plenty about football, but I didn't know how to run a football club. So what we did was, no, we should bring in people who did know what they were doing and empower them and support them and back them and you know, make sure that they had everything they needed to make things a success. Now that I've done it for 2 years, I want to go right down the path of like, oh, I know everything. I still don't. I've got no idea. But I'm going to take everything that I've learned from running a North Walian fifth tier football club and just try and apply that directly to Spanish top flight football. So, you know, I'm bringing in a kind of, you know, Neil Warnock type figure. We're going down to like just the grittiest long ball, hardcore, sort of quite old fashioned. I mean, he's not really that way now, but I'm going to give him the instructions. Like, I want you to play like you're in charge of Notts County in the 80s. I want a big man, a little man. We're playing 4-4-2. I'm interfering with all the decisions. You know, I'm absolutely playing the team that I want, not the team that he thinks is best. I'm just doing it all wrong, essentially, with a view to kind of building an identity. You know, it's like Barcelona, Real Madrid. Everyone knows the way they play. You know, possibly Valencia, possibly Atletico. But as you go further down the Spanish league, you know, who over here can say they fully understand what the identity of, you know, CD Leganes is,
Celta Vigo,
or Rayo Vallecano. Mallorca, you're going to know exactly how Mallorca play, and that is banging it up to the big man and just looking for flick-ons.
Lovely. So ironically, Brexit ball, basically.
Brexit ball in Europe. These days.
Sort of Sean Dyche, old school Burnley style of play, the old Big Sam. That's good
I'm changing the nutrition, right? Ketchup on everything. You're getting chips and ketchup. Like, I mean, I'll get them on the fags. I want to take us back to the glory days.
And it's going to be chips as well, like in a British way, not patatas bravas or anything like that.
No, God, no. No, no, no. They're getting like, and not even good chips, just like those thick steak cut chips.
No fries. There's no fries in there. No chip shop. God.
And are these players or fans or everyone?
This is for the players. For the players. The fans can still have, you know, whatever it is they want in the stands.
Peanuts.
You want to keep them on side, you know, because it's going to be a rocky transition. They're not going to like what they see until they see how gloriously effective it is.
So that, once you get in the results, because I think you're right, is in like, there's no point taking over a sort of currently mid-table team in La Liga and trying to outdo Barcelona and Real Madrid at what they do and invent.
They're not going to play with their own games. No.
No way. Frustrate them. That's the whole game.
We're going to time waste. We're going to kick lumps out of them. we're going to absolutely just be just the most horrible bastard team to play in La Liga. And again, none of them will be used to it. They won't know what's hit them.
They are called the, they've got a few nicknames, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
They're called Los Piratas, which yeah. I think means the pirates. They've also got Los Bemelones, which is the Vermilions.
Well, the pirates works for your image, but is there any...
Yes.
You can obviously... This is your club now, so you can add nicknames and remove nicknames. Is there any you want to add in?
The bastards.
I mean, I've got to say, I love the pirates. That's very much our spirit is, you know, we're coming for the bigger clubs, we've got more money, you know, and we're going to turn up on your patch, pillage, loot, you know, the rest of it. Come on, loot those 3 points. You know,
yeah, I love that.
Leave with our hold stuffed with sweet points.
loot the 3 points.
We're going to loot your sweet points.
We're going to loot
your,
yeah.
Is that the new motto? Of it?
Yes. I don't know how to say it in Spanish yet, but.
I can do it in Google Translate if you want.
We're going to loot your sweet points in Spanish.
1 second.
Vamos a saquear los puntos dulces.
Oh, that's
los puntos dulces.
Vamos a saquear los puntos dulces.
I like that. That sounds the part.
I know, but I think you could have said anything and we could have translated it to Spanish and it would have sounded wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just the problem with our language, I think, because it doesn't sound very fun.
Your home kit at the moment, as I'm sure you're aware, is like a kind of red and black tiger-esque print.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it looks like something Lily Savage might have worn.
Yes.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
And I love that. I think that's going to be a key part of the rest of the plan, which is attracting, you know, a lot of new fans. And again, with the style of football that I'm proposing and the kind of the whole atmosphere of it, I'm looking for, you know, Brits abroad, essentially. Lots of holiday makers to come in, fill the stands, you know, the leopard print, the whole vibe of the place. I think a big thing I'm going to do is try and get a lot of like former Love Island contestants, both as players, because lots of them seem to be footballers of some kind.
They're quite good, some of them, yeah.
But also just make it, very kind of like scene-y. It's a little bit, we're going to try and attract a lot of people from Ibiza to come and, you know, we'll build a nightclub in the stadium.
Inside the stadium?
Yeah, there's a nightclub in the stadium at LAFC. They've built like, you literally after the game, there's like a nightclub upstairs and people can go upstairs.
Really?
And there's the outdoor section of it looks out onto the pitch, but then there's like an indoor section where there's like full on, dark room with music.
a nightclub, yeah.
It's basically what that is, right?
Once you get to a certain age, it is a dark
place. It is a dark, loud room.
That's how I describe it.
Well, actually, your third kit currently really suits the Brits Abroad image because it's entirely white with red sleeves. It looks exactly like a T-shirt tan that a Brit Abroad would have.
Yes.
They've just sunburnt the arms. Everything else is completely pasty white. You might as well, it looks like they're just playing topless.
Yeah, that is 100% the vibe we're going for. And also with the kind of slightly 80s throwback version of the football I want, I'm going to try and see if I can get special dispensation from La Liga to get the players can wear little hankies with like knots tied in the corner on their heads while they play. So it looks like they're in kind of a string vest and a hanky
like
hat.
Like a granddad at Blackpool Beach in the 70s.
100%.
Also, on that third kit, you would have in suntan lotion on the back, just dick.
Yeah. The number would have to look like someone just drew it on the.
Yeah, it would just be a penis and then the word dick on the back that someone's done whilst they've fallen asleep.
That's probably what our mascot would be in. So there's, so the mascot is called, I don't know what the Spanish for this would be, but he's got to be some alliterative like Dangerous Dick. He's a pirate. He's
Dangerous Dick the pirate. He goes and loots the points.
He
for
goes
the treasure
and loots
chest.
The sweet points. Yeah, yeah. So he comes on, you know, he's always wandering around. He's got a big foam cutlass and whatever, and he's wandering around and he mimes stealing the points and putting them in a big foam treasure chest.
Do you want to know what Dangerous Dick the pirate in Spanish is?
Yes.
Dick Peligroso el Pirata.
That is lovely.
Dick Peligroso. I mean,
Dick Peligroso el Pirata.
Peligroso.
Dick Peligroso el Pirata.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Dangerous Dick the Pirate is lovely stuff. You could even get like a little foam +3 that once you beat your team at home, he can like grab it and sort of gesture to the way fans, pop it in the treasure chest.
Yeah, he gets it from behind their goal. Yeah. So he processes across the pitch and everyone's like... you know, get those points, get those points, but in Spanish, and then he brings
loot.
It back.
It's got to be loot, loot those, yeah. loot.
Yeah, 100%.
Are you making any signings to go with this sort of bastard approach that you've got? The sort of long ball, but also the kicking lumps out of each other. Is there anyone in particular you're looking to bring in?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, like, I think what we would do, my scouting team would be charged with basically starting with disciplinary records, like across Europe's top five leagues. You know, you're looking for who got the most yellow cards last year, who got three. I saw there was a fella got sent off in one of the Europa League games on Thursday, and they were like, that's his fourth red card of the season. And my, you know, I immediately was like, hello.
Yeah, this hello. Is our guy.
This guy, he was like some Ghent player or something like that. And you were like, God, in the Belgian league, you got sent off four times. Like, that's strong work. You know, you've got to be the angriest man in the whole sort of Low Countries to get four red cards in a season. So yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I want fighters. I want battlers. Again, I'll probably also do a thing where it's like, you know, if you go on Y Scout or any of those sorts of things, you can punch in all sorts of physical data and go like, right, well, find me strikers who are over 6 foot five. I want them over 6 foot five, but also ideally over sort of 200 pounds. I want a big lumbering unit. Mm. We were talking earlier about Boreham Wood, and they've got lots of sort of bouncers on their team. That's I would probably also come and trawl through the lower leagues here and be like, I want them big. I want them immobile. I want a big wall to ideally blast.
Yeah, and you're never worried about free kicks against you as well, because
no.
you can't get it up and down.
You can't
get
it up and down that quickly. Yeah, so you're cutting out, what's that, 5-6 goals a season?
Exactly, and maybe also the free kick taker would be so intimidated by seeing these lads just staring him down, they just turn around and kick it the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd also like the idea of your players basically having like their bouncers, you know, like the tags.
Yeah, they've got the little ID on their arms.
The ID on their arms. They have to wear that during the game.
Well, we'll get sponsored by the company that makes those bouncer ID tags.
SIS.
And then we'll print it onto the shirt. So it's like a classic shirt sleeve sponsor, but it will look like a bouncer's tag.
Okay.
And so then when Vinicius Jr. is running at our back line, he'll suddenly be like, oh, I might get thrown out. He'll just have a flash to some nightclub in Madrid that he's been in.
Also, if you're playing against any Wonder Kids, if you're playing against any kind of 17-year-old starlet, he's going to be thinking, well, I'm not going to get in here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wearing trainers.
Right. And that'll be another thing that, again, when they're attacking our end, you know, a big thing our fans will chant is like, you're not getting in those trainers.
Where's your ID? Where's your ID? Yeah.
But so I mean, scouting will be a big thing. We want to know who those Wonder Kids are. And just immediately, you know, the gaffer will be like, body bag. Let's end this kid's career. I mean, we're going to be a really nasty club.
I quite like the idea of you're there in the dugout. There's like the physio there. And then just to the left of your dugout, you've got like four or five actual body bags to intimidate. Mm,
that's a good idea.
100%.
Just like looking at the player and just like looking at the body bag. And like, have you chosen which one you want? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. What we'll do is while they're warming up, there'll be a whole thing where our medical staff and I go out and we hold them up. And you can see that what we're doing is trying to size them. Well, they're running through their like agility drills and like warm ups and stuff. We're like, maybe that one will fit, and it'll just, you know, it's all psychological. The minute they arrive, you know, we will be as they're going down into that little, you know, the bus will arrive, and our lot will go in a bus, will go down into a little tunnel under the stadium, and we'll like let them out at the local like train stop. Just like they get out at the same place our fans do. And, like you got to walk from there to the stadium, and then just the whole way down, just be people in their hanky hats booing them.
I'm assuming they've either got the ferry or the plane there as it is, you know what I mean, being on an island. So already it's a pretty treacherous journey.
100%. Well, we'll make sure they're on the ferry, because we'll do, again, a lot of that sort of, you get a lot of sort of home, you know, people watering one side of their pitch, you know, the side their team's attacking in the first half. They water that end so the ball moves faster down that end than it does down their end. And we'll do similar stuff where, like, you know, by this stage I have, again, using my blackmail technique, absolutely got the local, aviation authority on my side. So we're shutting the airport anytime a team's trying to fly into the island.
Great.
Forcing them to take the ferry. And again, you know, they're seasick, all that kind of stuff. they get dropped off at the bus stop close to the stadium. By the time they come in, they've already, you know, they're already 2-0 or 3-0 down in their heads.
Are you considering hiring or buying a sort of actual pirate ship that can sort of sail alongside
Love
the ferry
it.
As they're coming in, just to intimidate Love them. It.
Well, that is a perfect idea. Yeah, well, so we'll run our own boat from the mainland because we're going to get a lot of new fans coming in from the mainland, obviously. Yep. And they'll all want to get on board the pirate ship. And it will, you might be able to hear, there's a choir singing out on the pitch at the moment.
Wow, I can hear that a little bit in the background.
I'll show you out.
That'd be great.
I'll show you out the window.
So you're in the box that Rob and Ryan sit in and they're respective.
Where are they? I can't see them.
You can hear them.
I can hear them, but I can't see them. I think they're down. Actually, we probably can't get an angle on them because they're down underneath us. But yes, I too was sitting like, what on earth is that in the background? There's always something weird going on here. It's the joy of Wrexham Football Club. But yes, back to my pirate ship, more importantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a bit of a different vibe to a choir, a nice welcoming Welsh choir. But no, we do have a pirate ship that is going to intimidate.
Yeah, and they'll always, we'll run out the cannons and fire a broadside across the ferry, and it's all blanks, obviously. You know, no one's actually going to get hurt.
Could be footballs. But... You could just be firing footballs.
Oh, yes, just firing footballs. I love that.
T-shirt cannon.
Absolutely love that. Yeah.
That's when to get your merch across to the other ship, just in case.
Yeah. We're just firing T-shirts. What are they on about? Being friendly. Also, I quite like the idea of you having, whilst they're training, you're doing the body bags, you're just sizing them up, but then just having maybe five or six undertakers just looking over, and you're just pointing, going, yeah, that's them over there.
Yeah, real spectacle, all story. It's like wrestling.
It's getting quite wrestling, and I don't hate that, actually. I've got into wrestling a bit more recently. I started going to some people run a local... it's like a comedy wrestling show in LA called Wrestling Pro Wrestling, and it is genuinely one of the funniest and best nights of they do it every few months. I love it. Anyway, that's a sidetrack. That's a genuine thing. Just giving a Wrestling Pro Wrestling plug here on the podcast. I'm sure lots of people listening to this will go to the Burbank Moose Lodge to watch them.
And that's wrestlingprowrestling.com.
And would any of those guys be good enough, do you think, to be hired by your club to be on the touchline as characters doing things?
I mean, I would be all for that. Yes. There's a lot of creativity there, and there's a lot of threat, which you get in the wrestling world, a lot of sort of pantomime threat. I think they absolutely could, one of them could be Jack Peligroso El Pirata, or whatever his name was.
One second.
Dangerous Dick.
Dick Peligroso El Pirata.
Yeah, Dangerous Dick, Big Phone Pirate.
Big Phone Pirate.
You've got SAS as a sleeve sponsor. You know the door stuff. What's your main sponsor? Obviously, you've worked at Wrexham to bring in huge sponsors, it's amazing. What's it looking like from your corner on the front?
Well, what I thought I would do is again, so we've got SAS, the airline, obviously on the sleeve, but I thought we'd get SAS, the Special Air Service, the British Special Forces unit, to sponsor the front of shirt. And again, it's got that air of menace and danger. You get Ant Middleton to come down.
Can I interlude? Sorry. SAS is Special Air Service. There is SBS, which is Special Boat Service, which is actually what Ant Middleton was part of. He was part of SBS.
Yes. But that's even better, isn't it? Because it's keeping that nautical theme.
The pirates,
the pirates, the Special Boat Service. Yes. That is a great... thank you, Lloyd.
No worries.
You've just secured yourself two tickets to a regular season game. Like, just nothing... No Champions League, no
just
big
once.
Ones.
Category
you
C.
You just come just one. Yeah,
not
just,
a season
you've got to get yourself there. Yeah.
Getafe.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I've got my own boat.
But yeah, I mean, I think, again... British Army, I don't know what their recruiting is like these days, might be difficult, and they might find that being on such a high profile front of shirt might get a few more people interested.
Yeah,
especially when they see what sort of hard bastards you guys are.
These are going to be a good representation.
Yeah.
Played football in Mallorca. Do you know what I mean? Did an away day in Getafe, but I was made in
the SBS.
Yes, made in the SBS. Oh yeah, you do one of those adverts. It like transitions. So
I was
in
made
there.
On the ferry from the mainland.
Yeah,
to
I was made on the ferry. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah.
Are you doing anything with the sort of club crest? Are you changing the club crest at all?
Do you know what? I quite like the club crest. I think it's pretty cool.
It's quite regal.
It kind of looks a bit like treasure as well. It's got crown on it.
It looks like a sort of treasure ship. It's got that Spanish galleon vibe to it.
Yeah.
No, I think it's pretty cool. But I would definitely, you know, I would invest in nowadays, everyone likes, there's so much bells and whistles and so much social media and all this kind of thing. So I would get a really cool sort of computerized one done, you know, so that it would, you know, the 3D spinning this, that, and the other. And then, you know, maybe it kind of, you know, out of it bursts Dick Pellegrosso. You know, he comes through the middle at the end, and then like, but like with another, you know, he's holding another pirate, and he like forces him to his knees and like cuts his throat. And it's
wow,
it's properly like, oh, this is hardcore. This club is not messing around. Again, it's all about intimidation. We're building a very intimidating environment at Estadi Mallorcas.
So, yeah. Well, that perfectly gets us onto the stadium.
Yeah.
So, are you keeping the name that you knew so well?
Of course. Listen, you can't mess with an iconic name like that. That's so familiar to all of us. It's on the tip of our tongues. You don't want to change that. And listen, you know, again, I've inherited a really famous, well-known stadium here at the racecourse, and so we're very careful with that. But you've got to talk about stadium sponsorship. You know, that's a big thing nowadays.
Sure.
You know, do we make it the
Carling,
the Carling Estadi Mallorca Son Moi, or whatever it may be. I mean, again, I think we've got to be, you know, you've got to think about, you've always got to be building. I mean, we're expecting to get much, much larger crowds with all of these brilliant changes we're making. You know, it's only got a 23,142 capacity, as we all know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you consider what you're competing with in La Liga, you know, we've got to add more seats. But again, I've lived in America for a while, and I've been to American stadiums. They've got all sorts of mad stuff there. So I'm thinking, you know, again, it's pools in the stadium where you can have like a nightclub / pool feel. That's where all the Love Island folk go.
Yeah, nice.
But you can go in the pool or hot tub and like sit and watch over the top of it. And again, I think stick with the theme. We build like just a gigantic sort of galleon at one end, you know, with all the gun ports that are boxes, basically people can watch out of those. And then there's the deck up at the top and everyone's on there. And then people can even buy tickets to go in the rigging and go in the crow's nest up at the top.
Oh, lovely.
Look down. It's the best, you know, best seat in the house.
Perfect.
Iceberg ahoy.
Yeah. So I'm messing with the stadium in all sorts of different ways. And again, we'll move like their changing room will be like outside. We won't be actually in the stadium. They have to get changed outside the stadium where everyone can see them.
Porter cabin. You know,
yeah, so porta cabin thing. Well, no, I think even it's open to the air, so that, you know, when after they have their showers and stuff, they have to like hold their towels with their teeth to like put their pants on and stuff.
Right.
Otherwise, our fans can see it.
Great. Yeah, they have to get their mates to hold it up for them. I mean, just a suggestion for the away team. Could you have like a separate, so you obviously your team will come on through the tunnel, come onto the pitch.
Yeah.
Maybe the away team could have to like walk the plank to get onto the pitch. There's a bit of a drop.
Oh, Reese. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. just like a 6-foot drop. Nothing crazy, but enough to maybe just like jar a knee right before kickoff.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel comfortable on any of the muscles. Yeah. It's just like.
Yeah. So Dick Pellegrosso, they have to wait in the same way. Like obviously the referee comes around normally and is like, come on, let's go. But then they get stopped by Dick Pellegrosso, who takes them. They go down a slightly different thing, and then they've got to walk the plank into a thing with a big sort of animatronic shark that comes up and looks like it's going to eat them.
I think that the stadium nice. Already. I'm not sure if you've looked at it. You know what I mean?
I know it well. Yeah.
But it does look like. I'm just showing it. It does look like the one at the end. It looks like a sail.
It does look already, like a sail. It's got like a sail on it.
Obviously, you know that. You see?
Yeah.
It looks like a sail.
No, completely. And we'll paint a big skull and crossbones on that and just, you know, really, really milk every bit of pirate content out of this that we can.
You've already obviously been, as I say, you know, got a quite a high role at Wrexham.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ask if you've brought any rules or regulations into Wrexham. I mean, that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about Mallorca. Are there any rules or regulations that you're bringing into the players that you have? Obviously, chips and ketchup are... Yeah. Obligatory, I guess. But are there any rules or regulations?
Is there anything like you've got to have a short back and sides?
As I'm saying, you've already brought in smoking and chips. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be that strict, really, is it?
It's not. For me, again, it's one of the things I've learned from my time here is how important dressing room culture is and how, you know, you can have brilliant players and things and it doesn't necessarily all gel together and that the personality of a player is as important as anything else. So that's where I want to get. I want to get back to that gritty, back to basics, long ball, brutal style of football that I think is synonymous with sort of 80s, you know, English football.
Lovely.
And And that's where the cigarettes and the chips and everything comes in. You know, I want to, you know, ensure that there is just that spirit running through the place. In terms of like individual things, I mean, I think, you know, I'm going to allow my players a certain amount of freedom. Again, a big footballing influence on me was the 1990s cartoon, The Hurricanes. And they were a very disparate and weird group of people with all sorts of, you know, they didn't even always wear the same sort of kit, as if I remember correctly, unless I'm getting that mixed up with Billy the Fish. So, you know, I want them to have that sense of individuality, that, but at all times in service of the whole. And that whole is, don't stop knocking it around like a fanny, just bang it up to sort of cast and yanker reborn, like some gigantic... brutal, all elbows, German 6'5" striker, and his job is purely to flick it on for the little lad to get in behind.
Lovely, old school, no mucking about.
I loved it. This is when going to watch Spurs first became exciting for me, when we had a big man and a little man.
Harry Kane and Jermaine Defoe.
No,
okay.
Harry Kane and Jermaine Defoe. Oh, Peter Crouch.
Yeah, that's the other one.
And Crouchy. Jermaine Defoe. And then there was Berbatov and Keane for a while, who actually weren't that dissimilar in height as people think. Keane is not as small as people think, but still, it was a flick it on to the little man running in behind.
Heskey and Owen.
Exactly.
Such a classic. Albeit Emil Heskey was sort of a bit more mobile and dynamic. And I didn't like that about him. He'd score too many good goals. It's like, Emil, knock it. He wouldn't make it into my team.
You wouldn't want... And Crouch is the same. He actually, you know, classic case of good feet for a big man.
Yes.
You don't want good feet on this guy.
I want a centre forward who barely touches the ball with his feet. I just want him to be... absolutely flying across the pitch, you know, breaking the odd nose here and there, and just getting on the edge, just an absolute menace.
Just,
you
know, brute force.
Yeah. I want him to be suspended for at least 5-6 games a season from yellow cards accumulated, just from, not even from like tackling people, just from sort of backing into people so aggressively that he gets yellowed.
Yeah. And I bet, you know, he'd probably push the ref, wouldn't he?
Oh, 100%.
Like Mitrovic recently, he'd probably, you know. Yeah. He'd have a go at the ref. He'd get some disciplinary ones.
He'd give the ref a little pinch. Do you know what I mean?
Lots of that.
Humphrey, obviously the supercomputer decides as to whether it thinks you are fit and proper. It also sends up a little scenario just to see how you would react to being an owner of a football club.
Great.
And this is the scenario that it's just thrown up now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's thrown up the following. A takeover bid is launched for Mallorca, which has got fans very excited. Ryan Gosling and Charlie Day have fallen in love with the story and are desperate to get involved. They're talking documentary, learning bits of the language, going on Sky Sports pitch side, the full shebang. They don't mind keeping you on, but not as owner. You'd be in a much more reduced capacity. Now, can you go through all of this? Can you do this to yourself?
Or can I do it again?
Do you draw the line on this project being entirely your own?
Oh my God. This is a good conundrum. Hats off to the computer for coming up with this one.
Did a good job.
Did a good job, the computer, as they want to do. You know, old computers. You've got to say, they're going to replace us all, but they do a great job.
Stop sucking up.
Can you tell I'm also trying to buy time? Talking about computers. Wow. I mean, you know, a lot of people said, I don't think they're going to be that big. But I always thought, no. I mean, look, you know, I think... I've got to stick with my first loyalties. I think I've got to stick with, if, you know, as we established, I'm still working as the executive director of Wrexham AFC.
Mm.
You know, Ryan and Rob, they're not jealous people, but I think I've got to bow out at that stage. I will take my Dick Pellegrosso costume home, because I didn't tell you it was me. I'm in the
no
Pellegrosso
way.
Costume.
Yeah. What a twist!
That's the big twist at the end.
The rug pull.
We wondered where you were for all these matches. You know,
yes,
you said you were going to be hands
on,
and then you were never even there. We were going, this guy's never in the stadium. He's never in his box.
It was Pellegrosso.
He takes off that. He takes off the mask.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is great.
Because I presume the hat is attached to a giant sort of foam head, so I take the whole thing off as one.
Like the end of the Masked Singer
moment. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I weep salt tears as I wave to Los Piratas, our beloved fan base, and then I disappear with a gigantic pile of money.
And they're just flying in the air. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, everyone's their knotted hankies are flying.
There goes our captain.
Yeah, and they probably load me into a giant cannon at the end and blast me out of the stadium.
Blast you out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Straight to Wrexham.
Straight back to Wrexham.
Straight back to Wrexham.
And you land in your seat like a cartoon.
Yeah. Who's this? Oh, Leighton Orient. Great.
Yeah, just in time for kickoff. Lovely stuff.
Leighton Orient have just been promoted, by the way.
I know. I know.
So you won't next season.
No, but this is a few years away, right?
I can't get all this done. Sorry,
this is Leighton Orient versus Wrexham in the Premier League. Yeah, stick that in your pipe. Some music is being tested for tomorrow's game. It's really picking up.
What an insight we're getting.
Is this a spoiler alert, by the way? Are we getting an insight into what music's being played?
No, I genuinely actually don't know what is going on out there. Which is a pretty damning indictment of my role.
It's a good job you're not in charge.
Not theoretically in charge. I delegate a lot. That's my management style. I will say, obviously, you know that I've actually passed the genuine fit and proper persons test. I had to take on this position because I'm a director of the club. So and is this a first for fit and proper?
That is insane. What do you have to actually do?
What do you mean? We know that.
It's pretty straightforward, to be honest.
Have you been to prison? Can you afford it?
No, they're like, okay, so you're going to take over Wrexham. What are you going to, change the badge? Is there going to be a ferry from the mainland? It's exactly what happens.
It's just this. It's exactly this. Yeah.
It's exactly like this. There's another podcast. I just did a podcast with David Davies and David Pleat, the two examiners on behalf of the
as many ideas as we have? Like, walk the plank?
They were a lot strict. They just sat there and they did not laugh at any of my jokes either. So this has been a lot more fun.
This is much more fun. Well, we haven't actually passed the verdict yet. You haven't passed this test.
Yes, I may have failed this test.
It's not up to us, of course. It's up to the supercomputer,
computers. And as we said, they do a good job.
They're pretty good. They do a good job. So. Okay. So let's find out as the music plays in the background of where you are. Okay, supercomputer, let's press enter.
Well, Humphrey.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed to say. Joking. It's 2-2. You're fit and proper.
You are, of course.
Of course.
The pirate stuff was on the fence for a bit, but when it was, it was sort of gentle pirate stuff.
I'd have said pirate stuff was on the plank for a bit. But
it was on the plank for a bit, sorry. Yeah, it was on the edit that, and we'll get me saying that. But the pirate stuff was on the plank for a bit. But then when you started saying about how brilliant you thought computers were, I mean, that really sold
it. I think that's what did it. And that's basically what I did in my real fit and proper person's test. God, what a great test this is. If I really was a wrong un, I think you'd get me and I'd fail.
Yeah, we would.
You're not, are you? You said it. Yeah, you said that. You're good.
No, I'm not really good.
I'll tell you what I find very proper. You two fellas. That's what you said. Yeah. You two fellas doing the test.
Hey guys, which one's fit? Which one's proper? Okay, cool.
John Fit and Roy Proper. Oh, Fit and Proper.
Hey, Roy Proper. He's absolutely brilliant in Coronation Street.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, best of luck with your actual endeavors as someone who is doing this for real.
We wish you all the best. I mean that. It'd be great to play in the same league as you next season.
Yes, indeed.
If we start seeing sort of pirate-based stuff at Wrexham, then we'll know where it's come from.
You can sue, I think, can't you? You can claim that it's all... I presume everything I've said here belongs to you.
Well, famously, we've got it all recorded.
It all belongs to Gary Lineker now, so if you suddenly get a cease and desist from the Linekers.
You haven't got a leg to stand on, mainly because you're a pirate. That's not
Hello.
Bad.
That's good stuff.
That was
good.
Very...
That's actually good stuff.
Cut.
Yeah, we got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we nailed it.
We got him. Thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Hey, it's such a pleasure.
What an episode.
Absolutely perfect, you know? I mean, we got everything. We got a full insight into what it's actually like to do this. And then we got a complete abandonment of all of the things that he's learned to just do something else.
Also, we got a full insight as to actually where Rob and Ryan sit.
Yeah.
We saw it on.
We
on,
got to see it, yeah.
On the computer.
We don't do videos.
The computer's good.
This podcast is not video recordings. We're stuck in the past.
Very lazy.
So unlucky.
You know,
get on the Patreon and you can see a video of what their office looks like.
Have we got a Patreon?
No, but you know, that's the sort of thing people say on podcasts.
Isn't it? Yeah, but we're not like other podcasts. You mean? You
no,
know, they
we're
get
stuck in the past.
Yeah. We don't need listeners. It's essentially just our family listening to this podcast. Now, if you've liked the podcast, and we hope you do, please do all the things you can do and help it grow. And that is give us a rating. Again, Spotify doing the heavy lifting here on the Apple podcast. It's still on like 60-odd ratings. On Spotify, you're on over 240. Do you know what I mean? Lovely.
Yeah. We don't need to get bogged down in the details. The point is...
Humphrey Carr.
What a man.
And thanks for listening.